If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods here on, I just said it, on a Tuesday, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody.
Good first half of the show. Second half of the show should be pretty great as well. Excuse me, with Jesse Agler, that slipped out. Jesse Agler coming up and Sam Levitt as well. Sorry about that.
You're not really...
Well,
you don't control your
I don't
you bodily know. Emissions in the studio that way.
You guys have had them all today. Sneezes, farts, all of it. Sorry. I'm not worried.
What happens if you're on like a flight?
So apparently
what do you do?
I just did a 6-hour flight.
Yeah.
People just rip ass on planes. They have no fear. And there I was looking at Bo going, is that you? It wasn't me. And I'm sitting there like this.
The noise of the plane can sometimes mask.
Yeah, but not
don't
the
you
smell.
Still don't you still kind of know
who it is? I had no idea.
I always feel like I'm like I know it was
that guy.
He looks way too comfortable.
Yeah, just sitting back and just. I mean, it's bad. It's bad, bad. It was bad. The flight. It was like a like. Out of the 6-hour flight, a good solid 3.5 hours, there was some sort of foreign smell. There the whole time.
I'm always of mixed, you know, you try as hard as you can not to. When
well,
you're
pee
closed
your pants.
Quarters.
So, I mean, what kind
you
of...
Admitted this
you
yesterday.
Admitted this yesterday.
Not
that
on
you
a flight.
Pee your pants.
I'm not
God's so.
Chairless here, but...
I don't...
I think, I mean, a reasonable person will try to hold it in, but at some point, no one wants you to be, like, dying of discomfort if you have to let something out at some point. And there's nowhere to go. You're on a flight. I mean, when is it okay? When is it not okay?
I know it's courtesy to hold it in. Do we need to normalize that a little bit more? It's
there
a
needs
natural
to, there needs to be some,
body function.
There needs to be some... No, I don't want it normalized.
I mean, the pressure of the aircraft can cause havoc with some people's digestive
bowels.
Tracts. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're all adults here. There needs to be some sort of, like, filter.
What I'm saying is,
the bottom of your underwear
how
for
much
flight.
Discomfort do you need to be in before you're like allowed
me? Not
to just,
very much.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, just let it roll.
I think, what's worse, the guy letting one loose on a plane or the guy that brings, you know, Panda Express onto the plane?
That guy should be...
They should be arrested.
That
they shouldn't
should,
be allowed on the plane.
The air marshal should rubber bullet him and get him off the plane. And I told you once, I was flying back from... It's either Vegas or Chicago, and I couldn't have been more hungover, barely made my flight.
Probably Vegas.
And a guy brought, I'm not joking when I say this, he brought Popeye's chicken onto the plane. Now, I will get down on some Popeye's chicken.
Are you mad because you wish you had it yourself?
No, bro, no.
Or you just are stuck
the
with the smell then.
Of that. And I'm looking over at him like... Sucking on drumsticks. I was
like...
And it doesn't go away.
I don't mind too much when it's like they're eating it and it's fresh in the first like 15 minutes of the flight. What sucks is that there's then nowhere to put it. And it's
right.
just there.
It's just, it just lingers.
It just lingers for then the next 2 or 3 hours as stale Chinese food or fried chicken.
It was nasty.
For that
man.
Whole time. And you can't really get away from it.
Yeah, at least, yeah, Vegas is only an hour. You can sit through anything. I think it was Chicago. And the guy like sat down.
Did you just like pound a diet Pepsi during the break?
No, I just had one of these protein
it's
shakes.
It's not carbonated,
bro,
though.
It's not. I just drank it real fast. But yeah, it was pretty bad on that flight. There needs to be some sort of apparatus that you can put in your drawers, you know, to be when you're on a plane and you're like, well, this will filter it Like a filter.
HEPA filter,
like
of some
sort,
sort
of like a dryer
an
sheet.
N95 mask like a, you wear as underwear.
Underwear. Yeah, something. That like, hey, I'm going on a flight. You know, the air does make you feel a little bit bloated or whatever. And it's the, you know, you just, there's a natural inclination when you get on a plane, you're like, oh God, I could have done this in the bathroom there at the terminal. But for some reason, getting on the plane makes you do it. So people not afraid. Yeah, the silencer. Screw in your silencer.
Silent. I mean, the silent
the sound
ones
doesn't
are,
bother me.
Are generally the worst yeah. ones, though. The Kurt, loud ones you don't have to be that afraid of.
Kurt says he brings a Board and Brew sandwich on the plane. Kurt, you should be thrown off the plane. I love Board
I mean,
and
if
Brew.
It's like a turkey sandwich. It doesn't have a lot of
It's got onions
scent.
On it. Yes, it does.
Depends on what you put
the
on
it. The onion sauce.
Sauce.
It's literally, all, it's an onion sandwich. If you bring that on a plane, Kurt, come on, bro. That's just, I saw another thing going around Twitter yesterday. Some edgelord was talking about bringing your phone into a movie theater. And somebody had tweeted a GIF, me 5 minutes into any movie, and it's him playing on their phone, right? And so they said, the guy goes, well, what's the problem? I'm also paying to be there. You can't tell me how my experience should be. If I'm also a paying customer, I can be on my phone in a movie theater if I want to. And I was like, buddy, that is the worst sense of entitlement that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, people punched a hole in that pretty quickly. He said, it's a public space.
It's
I can
a
do
public
what I want.
Space. I can
no,
do what
it's
I want.
Not.
And
it's
I
a
pay.
Private theater.
I pay.
Is that like saying I paid to go to a Padres game? I'll run onto the field if I want to.
Yeah, correct.
No,
that's
a public space.
It's
no,
not.
It's not.
It's not a public space. It's a private business.
That whole bit of I paid, that means I get to do whatever I want. It does. Society can't function that way. It just can't. I mean, you can do it, but don't be surprised when you get your ass kicked.
Speaking of societal function and sandwiches, yesterday ordered a sandwich. I won't say from where because I don't want to embarrass them.
Oh boy!
They must have made him pay for it. Yeah, they didn't give it to you for free.
No, but I added avocado to the sandwich.
Plug all the bed.
And it cost over $3 to add avocado to the sandwich. And I ordered online. I picked it up. Got home. No avocado. I've never been more disappointed.
It's such a disappointment.
I mean, it's such a hard decision because it's such a large added charge now. It's like, I'm really going to have to want the avocado to add it for $3.
Yeah, you're craving it at that point.
So it's like okay, but I really want it on this sandwich. So I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to add 30% to the cost of my sandwich or whatever it is just to add what is probably ultimately like a quarter of an avocado. So at $3, that's like a $12 avocado that I've just added to my sandwich.
Yeah.
And I get home and they didn't put it on. And it's like, oh,
bastards!
I actually did like write to the whatever. Contact us, and
God.
I said I would like credit for an avocado next time. You can't just let them get away with that.
They weren't getting away with it. It was an accident.
It was.
You think that they looked at their buddy like? Got another one.
Oh, Higgins
is here. $1.50 for you. $1.50 for me.
I said, big fan, but
you're a Karen.
In this situation,
you're
I paid over $3 for avocado, and you didn't put it on my sandwich. Something needs to be done.
You monster.
A correction needs to be made.
Absolutely.
If I was a business owner, I would want someone to say, yeah, please, if we get it wrong, let us know, and we'll make it right for you. I want to be that kind of business owner. So I thought better be that kind of customer as well.
So you went.
Help them out.
You went to their website.
Yes, went to the website.
Did you get your $3 back?
Contact us. Not yet. I'm
and
waiting.
No response?
I'm waiting.
You're a nightmare is what you are. Just wear it. It's $3. It's more the
it's
anger.
The
it's the
principle
no,
of
it's
the
not.
Thing.
It's the anger that you didn't get it exactly how you wanted because it happens to me when I do DoorDash. What do they always forget for me? I'd say 75% of the time they forget the drink. 75%, which, by the way, is really the only thing I want. I don't keep sodas in the house. So when I do,
I get the drink without a straw all the time or something.
Oh, no, that's fine. I never get my drink. I would say 75% of the time, buddy, did they bring you a drink? Oh, no drink, sir. Sorry. I'm like, and so then I have to log back into DoorDash and then click didn't receive item. And then they credit your account. But when your order over the phone.
So you did. Do click and you'd say, receive item. Well, I didn't receive item.
Yeah, I
didn't
go to their website.
Avocado. I was very nice about it. I said, staff's great.
Read your
love
email.
Your place.
Read your email. Do you have it on you?
I don't know if it was one of those submissions. So I don't know that I have the email. But I can tell you exactly what I said. Hey, ordered a sandwich, added the avocado. Everything else was great. Always is. Staff was friendly. But in this instance, I didn't get the avocado on my sandwich. And because it is, you know, an extra $3 charge, I just wanted to point it out. I wondered if I could get a credit for next time, you know, on my account to get avocado on my sandwich. I don't think it was that big of a deal. Reed agrees with me. Says he would have done the same thing.
What account? Do you have a tab?
No, just like the app that I use to order.
Okay, so you order through an app.
Yeah, I have an account in the app where I'm logged in.
So they don't have like a thing you can go in and review your order?
It wasn't specifically. I just had to go to their like website thing. So
Care Ben.
Like Karen, but yes. Care Ben.
Yes. I got a fiver here for you. Here you go. That's... softens the blow for
Do me. I need to give it back if
no.
I get my avocado
no, no,
next
that's,
time?
No, that's for you. No, you can
keep your
that.
Fiver.
Keep it. Take it.
Keep your fiver. No. It's not about the fiver. It's about
clearly you
getting
need
my
it.
Sandwich the way I wanted my sandwich.
I will say, man, when that order comes and that guy brings the DoorDash to the door and he comes, it's like one little bag and you know damn well, because he's not carrying a drink and you know they did not wedge that drink in that bag. I start to lose it. No drink? No, didn't see one. I'm like, oh my God. And 75% of the time, I don't get my drink. Is there a secret? Is there a hack I'm missing? Is there something I should do? Should I order it like no ice, extra ice, double straw? Like, to make sure.
I think the hack is getting off your ass and going to get it. Because it happens to me all the time. Yeah. I go, yeah, I deserve this. Yeah. I deserve
In fact,
this.
If I really want a drink. I love the old go, get the drink, fill it up, drink it once, then grab your sandwich or whatever, fill it up again as you go.
It's a good chance to steal from local
it's
businesses.
Not stealing. I think that's why they didn't put avocado on
it's
your
sandwich. Yes, stealing.
It's
the
a
drink's
great,
a free refill.
It's a great chance to go steal
it's a free
from a
refill.
Local business. Okay?
It's a free refill.
It's a great job to steal from any chance you
it's
get.
It's part of the charge. They're charging you $4 for the drink, do you think? For 3 cents worth of soda or iced tea or whatever you're having. I think they can afford the other 3 cents worth of iced tea that I just filled up before I left.
Yeah, any chance you get to steal from a local business, you take. That's fine. If that's how you want to do it, that's fine. You also put Sprite in your water cup. I think I've seen it happen.
Or I've
lemonade.
Not done
no,
that.
It wasn't Sprite. It was lemonade. That's my fault. I have seen you.
No.
Yes.
Maybe if you're going to get water and it just doesn't taste great, so you just, like, instead of a squeeze
instead
of lemon,
going to buy
a
lemonade,
you just put the
lemonade
into the water just to make it taste okay.
And I feel like, Paulie, he has such a sense of pride. They like I got one over on them. I got them. They're not
getting anything.
They're
over
not
on
getting
anybody.
Me. They're not getting me today.
Just maximizing my efficiency and what I get out of the dollars that I spend.
You are the best. The literal best. So if you're a local business out there, you see Ben Higgins coming. Watch out. Watch that dude at the soda fountain. Guy sitting there drinking fill up.
There's nothing illegal about
that. My grandfather used to do that.
I did that when I was 9.
Yes,
I got a water cup and put Sprite in it.
Yeah, dude.
And then they yelled at me.
We used to rip off CC's pizza.
What do you do? If you go and you go somewhere and you get a fountain drink and you drink it, you buy another one before you leave and you fill it up again.
But I'm sitting in the restaurant. It's a one-time thing if you're taking it to go.
What does it matter how long you're at the restaurant? If I drink it fast, I'm going to put another one in there before I go.
It's unbelievable, man.
Holy cow.
He is on
such a stickler.
You're a thief.
I'm the victim here. I'm the victim.
You're a cheap thief is what you are. Thief of joy. Oh, you lay me out. You really do. I saw it, man. I saw it at Jersey Mike's one day. This dude juiced up some lemonade. I went, I see what you're doing. You think they can't see that pink liquid through that clear cup? And they just look and shake their head. Just help yourself to a brownie, too, while you're there.
Wouldn't do that.
Adam says, Bad Boy Ben orders a soda without ice to get more soda, then takes it home and pours it over a glass filled with ice.
Yes.
It's not a bad strategy, Adam.
That sounds like something Adam's
done. That sounds
done.
Like something he's thought about before.
Let's be honest. Oh, that's good. That is so, so good.
All right, we'll get back to our Padres talk. Jesse Agler is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also, I don't want to call it bad news, but we had some injury news from the minor leagues to the Padres yesterday to pass along for you. I'll let you know about that when we come back after Kelly's traffic. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to phrase this in the most alarming way possible, and then I'm going to tell you why it's not quite so bad. Welcome back. It is Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse Agler will join us here at the bottom of the hour. Padres, one of their top two prospects, 17-year-old shortstop Leodalys DeVries, is likely out for the season with a right shoulder strain.
Sounds really bad, doesn't it?
Okay, that's the way Like, if you're an alarmist, you're going for the headlines, you put it. Now, in reality, the season is almost over. In the minor leagues, it ends at the end of August.
He'll miss the playoffs, though, potentially.
But he could, if they get in the playoffs, and I think they did qualify in the first half, but those are sometimes just like 3 days worth. So it's just unlikely that he might be back in time for the playoffs. They don't consider it a major injury. In fact, there's even the possibility he could extend his season by going to the fall league a little bit, get a few more at-bats later in the year. He has really come on, though. I see some of the videos posted by Tom on Twitter, Giannis,
yep.
He
did a full highlight reel.
All the highlights that Leodalys DeVries has done. And after a slow start, and he was dealing with some injuries early.
He's also 17.
He's had like an over 900 OPS the second half of the season. He's the youngest player in the California League, even low single A. At 17, he's playing against guys who are 1, 2, 3 years older than him for the most part. And he's thriving. He's one of the best players in that league. He's up to number 47 in MLB.com's top 100 prospect rankings for the Padres, behind only Ethan Salas, who's at number 20, and rising quickly as last year's international signing took most of the bonus pool for the Padres. But there was a reason why they felt so confidently about DeVries, and he has pretty much rewarded that confidence this year with an outstanding first professional season, which may be over now. But big things likely ahead in the future for Leodalys DeVries. Probably a promotion next year, high single A, maybe even get to double A at some point next year. And he'll only be 18 next year as well. Only 18 years old.
He looks so good, man, and plays well above that age. You know what I mean? He looks the part. Yeah, you know, you always. I heard Buck Showalter recently. He was on like Baseball Tonight, or not Baseball Tonight. He was on MLB Network, and he said, "Oh, it's good face." Talking about a guy, and I'm like, "Oh my God, that's straight out of Moneyball. He's got a good face." Leodalys DeVries, Ben, he's got a good face. He looks the part.
He does.
And watching that highlight reel was pretty
who's
awesome.
Fabio?
Yeah, who's Fabio? Shortstop.
I mean, you know, we got a switch hitter at that age. And he can looks like he's going to have power, possibly from both sides of the plate.
Nasty. And the glove. The glove, oh, too. Yeah, the glove. Yeah, I mean, some of the defensive highlights were staggering.
So, yeah, ostensibly, obviously, bad news, but nothing to really get all that worked up about.
Well,
and you can feel good about the season that he's had.
Well, yeah, you feel great. Yeah, you feel great about the season he's had. And you also know that he's 17 years old, Benny. And remember being 17. I mean, the healing when you're young is so, it's like staggering. It's, you know, give him a couple weeks. He'll probably be right as the mail.
Quite a bit of injury news on the major league level as well, especially for some National League playoff contenders. The Diamondbacks did officially place Ketel Marte on the injured list with that aggravated ankle sprain. Torre Lovullo said hopefully it'll be a minimum stay, which would be 10 days, but you're dealing with an ankle. Nothing's ever certain with that, but they'll be without their MVP and best player for the next week and a half in a very critical part of the season. Got by without him, obviously, yesterday, but that's a blow to the Diamondbacks. And then the Braves losing Austin Riley for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hand. So he's out probably for the rest of the regular season and perhaps even into the playoffs if they make it. Obviously, the Braves trying to hold on right now to that third wild card spot. They're only a game and a half ahead of the Mets now after they were off yesterday and the Mets beat the Orioles 4-3. So another injury, though, for the Braves. They have been devastated this year.
They just picked up Gio Urshela, who was cut loose by the Angels, I want to say, or the Tigers. They picked him up, so he'll fill in defensively at third base, but Austin Riley is a stud.
And
so.
Then we mentioned earlier, the Dodgers getting a little healthier with Max Muncy returning to the lineup yesterday, and he homered in his first game back. And then Tommy Edman was activated, played, got a hit his first game. He was acquired in the trade, but hadn't played at all for the Cardinals this season as he was recovering from surgery.
Now they DFA'd Nick Ahmed. Should we bring him here to hold down shortstop while Ha-Sung Kim is out?
So they've DFA'd both Ahmed and Ahmed in the last
Ahmed Rosario
two
and
weeks.
Nick Ahmed. But Rosario was picked up by the Reds for some reason, and he would have been a really nice pickup in case you needed somebody. He's a good hitter, you know, decent glove. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, depending on the severity of Ha-Sung Kim's injury, they may look to the waiver wire at some point, Benny, to try to get some reinforcements. I don't know that there's a shortstop knocking on the door right now for the San Diego Padres that's ready to come up and make the jump. You can always shuffle guys around. You got plenty of shortstops, but it's up to them to make that decision.
And the Dodgers obviously getting Mookie Betts back last week, so they have their big three again at the top of the order. But news yesterday, Freddie Freeman does have a hairline fracture in his finger. He plans to play through it.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of enduring the pain and discomfort like Luis Arraez is doing with the thumb ligament tear that he's been playing through. But you've got to imagine that at some point that's you're not going to be at your very best while you're playing through the fracture in your fingers, so Freddie Freeman's going to be dealing with that, at least for the time being, but plans to remain in the Dodgers lineup. So quite a bit of injury news, actually, around the National League yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, again, what do we always say? It's a war of attrition. This is what it is. It's a war of attrition. The Dodgers have a little bit of a cushion there, but the Diamondbacks and Padres are just going head-to-head, just banging. So it's going to be awesome, and who can overcome the injuries that mount up this time of year. And you know, you just really hope and pray for the health of guys like Jackson Merrill, Jerkson Profar, Jake Cronenworth, guys like that, you know, guys that are everyday players that really never come off the field, which is why it makes it frustrating to watch guys get continually hit by pitches, even if they bounce.
Three more hit by pitches for the Padres yesterday?
Yep. Yeah. I looked it up, too, because this was before the game, so maybe we moved up. But we were, like, right in the middle. I'm like, we have to be the most hit team.
Because we're skyrocketing.
Profar alone has got a ton of – he's like Don Baylor. He wears one every game, it seems. And we're, like, kind of right in the middle.
Good pull.
Thank you.
Don Baylor. Got hit a lot.
The all-time leader, I believe. So, yeah, man, not the not what you want,
like
man.
Brett Butler got hit a lot.
You don't want your three-hole guy just getting dotted, you know, a couple times a game, which has been the case lately for Jerkson. He's a magnet right now.
Let's see. Where was I going to go? And then I keep getting questions about, and Mike Schilt does as well, about Fernando Tatis Jr. Obviously, everybody's wondering when he's going to be back. It really does sound like it's still not going to be for a while. They're being cautious. From what I'm gathering, and they, again, don't give a lot. He's doing some baseball activities, but they're really not letting him go full bore yet. And that includes like sprinting and running. You can't play baseball unless you can run. Even if you're DHing, you still have to be able to run the bases.
Yeah, they don't get non-runners in
their
league.
So until Tatis can really let loose and sprint, whether it's in the outfield or rounding first and going to second, it's really a non-starter as to when he's going to return. Now, it does sound at the very least like the day he gets full clearance from doctors and they say, okay, go for it, it probably won't take too long at that point because then he's just healthy and he can do whatever he wants. It's just a matter of getting some timing back, and I don't know if he'll go on a rehab assignment or just come right back, but it sounds like it'll happen quickly, but they are being very cautious in terms of giving him that full go-ahead.
Jeff in the chat says Padres are sixth in the NL in hit by pitches with 50. Yeah, it was like,
I just looked it up. Profar is third in baseball, tied for third with 15.
Who's above him?
Tyler Freeman of the Guardians has 16 hit by pitches, and Josh Smith of the Rangers leads the majors with 17.
Jake's usually up on that list, too. He gets hit a lot as well. All right, we've got Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, shifting to the TV booth. For the next few days, well, Don Orsillo is off, but committed to Song Lyric Incorporator tonight as well with Tony Gwynn Jr. on the TV broadcast. Jesse will join us coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, Gwynn and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. What do you think it would take to get Jesse Agler to show up for a roundtable one Thursday?
An act of God. A literal, like we'd have to
send
a limo.
Limousine. Yeah, for
even,
sure.
And
even then, I'd probably.
A lot of money.
I'd say a grand. Yeah. I think he'd do it for a G, cash.
I mean, there is free pizza involved, and it is really good roundtable pizza. And is the invitation is open. We would love to have him. We'll throw an extra chair.
I would love to have
Jesse. Tony's there. Tony sometimes. So maybe we can get Jesse one of these days. We'll ask him when he joins us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan, if he's still there. Can I interest you in some Guinevere's Garden Delight veggie pizza for free, Jesse, on Thursday at 10 a.m.?
I'm not going to lie. Pizza is kind of the key to the whole operation.
There you go.
Really?
You might be onto something.
Take as much with you as you want.
What time do you do this thing on Thursday?
10 to 11 a.m. You get an open invite anytime you want to show up.
Yeah, be amazing.
I usually work out 9:30 to 10:30, but you know, maybe we'll try and make it happen.
That would be so sick. There's a gym here.
You can just work out before.
They have a gym here.
Sounds like he's considering it. He can have all my supply of pizza and then some.
I went yesterday, and then a very, very, very fit man walked in and started working out, and I felt bad. So I left after like 30 minutes. Yeah, dude. I was like, all right.
It's very important. You know how like we say about the Padres, like you can't worry about who's on the other side, right?
Correct.
You got to take care of your own business. It's the same thing with exercise, man. You can't compare yourself to other people. You got to worry about you. Do what you need to do. Skip Schumacher walks in there and starts 500.
Oh, we lost him a little bit.
We're losing him a little bit.
I think I got his point. Skip comes in, starts working out. I'm leaving immediately.
That's odd because my very first question here to you, Jesse, and obviously you couldn't listen to him last night, but I wondered if you had anything to say to Sam Levitt or any advice that you gave him. He did an outstanding job filling in for you while you were filling in for Don on television yesterday. It's a really nice moment for Sammy, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's been a little under the weather. So he passed by me yesterday and I said,
"You ran.
Keep your distance."
Yeah.
But then I gave him a fist pump and I said, "Hey man, go get him." You know, that's all he needs. He knows what he's doing. And you know, I remember having that opportunity for the first time, you know, at the beginning of my career. And you know, it can get in your dome a little bit if you allow it. And I don't think he did. So that's really, you know, keep it simple. Like you would say to anybody when they're doing a big thing for the first time, "Hey man, go get them." Like, you know what you're doing. That's it. You don't need any advice. You don't need any, you know, sort of hand holding or anything like that. So I was excited for him. And, you know, it was fun for us to bring the radio crew to the TV side. That was weirdly, familiar yet unfamiliar last night with Tony, but we had a good time and I'm sure it was great next door as well.
Well, you guys crushed it too. I got a chance to sample both. Do you remember? Remember your first game? Do you remember the details? Who pitched? Who played? Like, do you remember the feeling? Probably the waiting around all day for you'd want that game to be at like 10 a.m. Like, let's get this thing going.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep last night, so I'd like to just go ahead and get this thing over with.
I think the first one I did, and it might have been the second, but I think the one I remember was Roger Clemens was pitching for the Astros.
Wow!
In those brick red uniforms in Miami, and The Marlins won the game. It was like either 1-0 or 2-1, something like that. And here's a name to remember. Reggie Abercrombie hit a home run against Roger Clemens that was, I think, the difference in the game. That's my general vague recollection of it. And it's funny because I really do remember more about the beforehand and, like, you know, the PR guys for the Marlins at the time. And I mean, this is like, I don't know, 2006, you know, coming in and being like, hey, you know, remember, breathe through your nose, not your mouth. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? And they were like laughing, you know, just trying to,
oh,
like, you know,
you
play around with me a little bit. Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was cool. It was fun. It's one of those things, you know, you remember forever. And look, the most important thing, you know, for me then and for Sam is like, you know, that for what we do, like, you now have a tape. You know, you can say, I have done a major league game. You have proof you can do a major league game. So, you know, like any job you're looking for in the future, you know, that's the lead. And that can be huge. So very exciting, certainly to be able to get that opportunity.
We've been a radio show for 6 years. We don't have a tape, honestly. We don't have a tape.
So if somebody came to you tomorrow, you know, from like a big national broadcast. So let's say YouTube came to you and said, we want you guys to do a show.
Yeah.
Give us a sample of what you do.
I'd say go to Instagram.
I mean, like, every single show we do is now completely available on YouTube.
Yeah, go search
anytime.
YouTube.
You could watch anything you wanted. So
I got no greatest
hits. Maybe the concept of a tape is starting to get a little
outdated. Potentially.
I think they would say, no, you
send it.
So you get, you know, Paulie puts it together real quick, and there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got Paulie.
Instead of tape. That's the secret weapon. That's right.
So, Jesse, I said this yesterday, and see if you agree. The Twins and the Padres are kind of mirror images in the American and National League. Same record, essentially, chasing down a team in their division that's a couple games ahead in a wild card spot. And I thought the game yesterday, while it's August, it's the dog days, felt very much like a way a playoff game sometimes goes. You know, scoring early runs on some ground outs, one big hit somewhere, and big bullpen action at the end to close it out. It just kind of felt like a playoff game a little to me last night.
I mean, that's how the Padres play and that's how the Twins play. As you said, you know, I mean, those mirror images go beyond just the record and all that. I mean, it's very much the style of play. It's very much, the strengths of the two teams mirror one another as well. So yeah, I mean, look, the Padres are at their best when that's kind of what the offense looks like. You know, not that they had as many hits last night as they generally do, but you know, that's kind of the MO is like, all right, hey, if we get a runner on third, you know, less than two outs, we're going to get this guy home one way or another. Might be sexy, might not be. Even the win in Colorado on Saturday, first couple of runs came home on outs. So, you know, and generally this year when they've done that, bigger things have followed, as obviously was the case last night with the Merrill hit. So, yeah, I mean, the Twins operate very similarly. You know, neither one of these teams is really going out there trying to hit home runs, but they certainly have the guys who have the ability to put the ball out of the yard, and it was not carrying last night. So, you know, I mean, I don't know at what point that became obvious to all of us or to the guys on the field who probably
Christian
noticed
Vasquez
more quickly. Yeah, there you go. I mean, he stepped into that thing.
He thought he had something there, man. He gave the look out at Michael King, like, got you, and started the trot. And it was like, nah, bro, that's 20 feet short. Welcome to Petco Park.
Yeah.
You're not in Minnesota
anymore. It was old school Petco last night. It really was. And so even more so, you know, having that approach ends up being, you know, critically important because if you're leaning back, you know, trying to get into the home run, you're probably, as you saw, like, as you just said, going to be left short. So, yeah, I mean, the other thing that kind of made it feel playoffy is that the Twins pinch hit more than any team in baseball. How about Manuel Margot? That was his 32nd pinch hit plate appearance of the season, more than anybody in baseball. And I love the guy, so I hesitate to say this, but
over.
He is over.
I'll say it.
Over.
What?
Over.
Really?
Over 32. In the
they keep throwing
well,
them
I think
out
it's
there.
0 for 28 over with some walks.
0 for 28 with some walks, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Rocco, Chase, man, what are like, you guys doing?
Is this square peg, round hole? What are we doing here? You figure at some point, though, he's due.
He's
going to get one at
point. Yeah, like if you're going to stop using him, it probably happens right at like 0 for 12 or 0 for 13. And then beyond that, you're like, all right, well, at this point, he's got to. You know, and now here he is, but he'll probably be in the starting lineup against the lefty tonight. So.
Did you get a chance?
That's pretty wild.
Did you get a chance to chat with former skipper Jace Tingler? They did a little brief flash, we'd forgotten to mention it yesterday. He's the bench coach for Rocco Baldelli, and they, you know, panned down to the dugout. I went, oh, there he is, the old skipper. Did you get a chance to catch up with Jace?
I did not. By the time the twins all came out, some of the twins were out early. He was not. He was obviously working in the office inside. So by the time the twins all came out, we were already back upstairs. But definitely want an opportunity to see him, you know, probably today. You know, such a weird brief era. Like, yeah, there was some playoff stuff. There, yeah, was excitement. There was Slam Diego. But, like, it's also COVID and, you know, all the strangeness that went along with that. And but, yeah, you know, a nice guy who was always – extremely respectful to, like, us and what we do. And, you know, that was his first opportunity. And, you know, a guy that I think was trying to figure it out on the fly a little bit, but somebody who gave everything he had, certainly, to this team while he was managing it.
Jesse Agler is with us. Jesse, do you feel there's almost like an urgency now when you get to, like, the fifth and sixth innings? Like, if the Padres have a lead, that feels pretty pivotal at this point, especially on a night like last night when you can go with your Adam, Scott, Suarez trio. Yes, we know the acronym, Woods, to finish off the game. And that was pretty much on the field what A.J. Preller had dreamed up on paper when he hit to the trade deadline.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's, you know, it's very, very easy to watch, you know, the pitching from last night and think October. You know, I mean, it's exactly what you said. It's how you dream it up. You know, you get a starter who's able to go six, keep you in the game, you have a lead, and you turn it over to a trio of guys, and obviously there's even more than those three that you can use that are just untouchable. And that is how you win in the postseason. That is how you go deep into October, is having options like that and shut down guys like that. You know, multiple people in your bullpen who literally, in one case here, were or could be on other teams. That is the name of the game. And every year, you know, you see it more and more. The starters' workload is reduced in the postseason, and teams really lean on their bullpen. You know, and particularly when you think about the playoffs and all the off days that are built in right there, it does allow you to reset a little bit with the bullpen more regularly than, you know, the Padres would be able to right now during this stretch of 18 games in 18 days. So this is a playoff bullpen. That's what it was made for. That's what it looked like last night. And it's definitely a reason to be excited.
Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. Last one for me, just you're around the team all the time. And I don't know that anybody's even asked Schulte this question. And it's something I think that we can just kick around for fun. But is there talk of the division? You know, and they know how close it is. They know exactly how many games out they are, for sure. You'd be a fool not to. But is that something that based on your perception or convos you've had with the guys, they're like, no, we're gunning for this division? Or is that just go out and win today's game?
I mean, I think that's been the goal from February, whatever, when they showed up in Peoria. You know, I mean, look, those of us on the outside who said, hey, you know, the Dodgers, blah, 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 100-win juggernaut, da-da-da, you know, like, okay, that's what all the punditry was going into the season. I don't think the players ever cared about that. I don't think the players ever considered that. These guys show up and they expect to win the National League West. Like, that was the mentality when they got there at the beginning of the year. Now, whether it happens or not, we'll find out, you know, 40 games to go or whatever it is. And that's always been one of the goals. But yeah, of course, the primary goal for this team is winning the World Series, has been from day one, continues to be today. So whether that happens via the wild card or whether that happens via a division title is, I don't want to say irrelevant, but I think everybody, you know, realizes that, like, you don't have to win the division to win the World Series. That's apparent, obviously, looking at baseball the last several years, and even more so now with the extra wild card spots. But yeah, no, of course their goal is to win the National League West. And, you know, you're playing the Dodgers 3 in LA next to last series of the season. You know, if it's this tight, then that's going to be wildly, wildly fun for all of us. And, you know, you'll be able to tell very clearly from pitch one, and probably from even before that first game at Dodger Stadium begins, how much it matters. You're going to see it in their faces.
Yep.
You're going to kind of hear it in their words. So yes, of course, of course. Again, though, you know, don't get it wrong. It's not about, you know, the division at the end of the day. It is about the World Series.
Love
That's
it.
What matters. But
Love
do
it.
They want it? Of course they want it.
So, Jesse, I have heard that you are willing to take Song Lyric Incorporator to Padres.tv tonight, which is
amazing,
very impressive.
Amazing.
I need to explain. On the radio, it's a challenge. You nailed it last week, but it's just you and Tony and Dave Marcus, and you can really do what you want. On television, you've got producers in your ears and graphics to coordinate with and everything. It's a bigger challenge. So this is, I'm impressed that you're taking it onto TV for us.
Well, if you read the article, Dave is also in Jesse's ear.
A little bit.
He's in Jesse's ear a little bit.
I don't think Jesse has to worry about Dave, though, as much as he does, like, the graphics guys and the producer and the director in the truck.
That's true.
With Dave. So what we've been doing
is... How nice was that story?
Oh, so nice. So
we talked about it yesterday. What a great piece on the great Dave Marcus. He is such a gem. All right, so we've been picking something to do with the opponent and where they're from, and with Minnesota, it was pretty obvious where we were going with this week's song lyrics. So here you go, the incorporator for Jesse tonight.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. What a jam.
Prince, Let's Go Crazy. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
What an epic song.
I don't know where it comes into a baseball broadcast.
Tremendous lyric, tremendous artist. So beloved in that place, of course.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's funny, I was actually trying to wedge in something Prince related last night at one point, and I actually thought to myself, they're probably going to hit me with Prince tomorrow.
Yep,
so let's not overdo it.
Yeah,
and we're ready to go.
Look, this is like mind melding here. This is great. I love this. I love this, man. Yeah, that will be a fun one for you to do. Fun one for us to hear, as usual. Thank you for your
Jesse. Have a good
time.
Broadcast, and we'll see you on Thursday at 10 a.m. here at the Sound Space for the roundtable.
Look forward to it.
All right, save me a slice.
All right. Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, radio, television, wherever they need him, and the incorporator. Awesome.
If he comes to the roundtable, I'm going to lose my mind. I'll absolutely lose my mind.
All right, Paul, you got some headlines for us on the Rindle Report?
I sure do.
We will get to that coming up next. And Sam Levitt still to come as well. Woo! Meta Woods on until 10 here on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.